Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I am delighted to be on the radio doing this show today, which is going to be dedicated to my good buddy, John Freese, who is out in Utah. I just left my home. I am in my SUV that was thrown away back in May at a hauling job that we took a little bit of TLC care of it. And it is now a vehicle that I'm driving around just having a blast with. It's really nice when people pay you to take their cars, you know, and then you convert you just kind of fix the thing up because it's been sitting for a few years, and pretty soon you're driving it around town, and it costs you nothing. In fact, the car has been so great that I have used it to deliver various items in my junk removal business. I put a little electric snowblower that somebody... about a month ago, and went out and did a couple of snow removal jobs and made some money. And I think this little car has paid for itself and made me a couple of thousand dollars since then. It's a 2007 Chevy Trailblazer. So I always love it when I hop in this car and go someplace. I mentioned John because he lives out in Utah with his wonderful family. I am on my way to Reagan National Airport in Washington to catch a flight at 6 o'clock that will take me out to Denver and then later on to Salt Lake City. The reason I'm going out there has to do with John's wonderful son, which we'll come back and talk about in a minute. It's kind of an amazing thing. John is from Jeffersonville, Indiana originally, and he and I just happened to, out of sheer dumb luck, ended up being roommates back at Brigham Young University back in the late 70s and early 80s, and we just had a blast. I hope that in everybody's life, at some point in your life, and I've said this for about five decades now, almost that much, I hope people have a chance to have a friend as good as John. He is just that good of a guy. An Indiana kid who, with his brothers, went out to Provo, Utah, went to school at BYU, ended up joining the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and have just had amazing lives since then, and I'm sure before then. But they have really embraced this whole religion and the culture and the people out there, and we just had a wonderful time. But to give you an idea, I forget what year it was when Prince Charles and Lady Diana were married, but John and I threw a party live. It was 2 a.m. our time, Mountain Standard Time. We threw a party live, watched the wedding, and invited people to dress up, and we rented tuxes, and we just had a blast. We had it covered by the local newspaper. We got the local Albertsons grocery store chain to donate a cake. And we had a party at 2 a.m. celebrating the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Diana, and it was just a blast. they asked us one time, and I can't remember for sure what this was called, but every Friday night over in what we'll call the Wilkinson Center, it's kind of like the Student Union building, they have basically a talent show, and they need somebody to MC that show. John and I were invited to do that one time, and we just had a blast MCing that show on a Friday night. It was really a lot of fun. John took the lead as kind of the coach and the organizer, the player coach of our intramural co-ed softball team called Cold as Ice, named after a popular rock song back in those days. And we went on to win. As I remember, I think we won the whole intramural championship playing co-ed softball. And that was just a blast. John and I also played together on a intramural flag football team. And I was a wide receiver. He was a former high school quarterback. And that was just a blast having him throw passes to me, which I then tried to catch. Anyway, that might give you a little bit of an idea about how much fun we had together. We always thought it was cool that one of us was named Cook, one of us was named Freeze. And I used to joke with him about doing a radio show someday called the Cook and Freeze Show, which I thought would be a lot of fun. Well, there's a little background on what a great guy this is. He has a wonderful family. His youngest son is named Matt. And on Matt is around 29 to 30 years old, from what I understand. I don't know Matt very well. I know a little bit, some of his other kids a little bit better. But I'm headed to Utah because on Valentine's Day, Matt's wonderful wife named Brooke gave birth to her first child, a son. And that was Valentine's Day. Complications arose with Brooke, and Brooke passed away 5 days later on the 19th of February at the ripe young age of 29. So yours truly is headed to the airport to fly out to Utah, where tomorrow at 2 o'clock is Brooke's memorial service. And there are some things that are just important that you fly across the country for. This is one of them. And I just want to be there to give some emotional support my good buddy John and to his whole family, who I know quite well and have had a chance to interact with them over the years, at what is obviously a very tough time in everybody's life. So I'm going out to lend some emotional support and anything else I can do for this great family. And I was just really touched by this when I found out about it just a few days ago. I decided to make it the topic of my show. And many of us, you know, over the years have always kind of said that simple statement about why do bad things happen to good people? Well, because I'm going to try to answer some of those questions in today's show and just talk about it. On this show, we talk about how to get the junk out of your home and out of your life. And out of your garage or whatever. But the bigger picture is, how do you get it out of your life? Well, right now, you could argue that the Freeze family has been dealt a little bit of junk, so to speak, that they now have to deal with for the rest of their life. And it is not what you would hope for when a new little boy is brought into the world. But it gives rise to trying to answer some questions, trying to give people hope. There are lots of things that happen in life that we will look at and say, man, that's unfair, etc. But there are also answers to a lot of these things, and there's hope behind it. And this show is dedicated to my buddy John and to his son Matt and to his daughter-in-law Brooke for the good people that they are and this tough thing that they have to deal with. So with that as a little bit of an intro, here are some thoughts, I guess. One of the things that people tend to do, especially when times get tough, is they tend to turn to God. And sometimes in life, when things are really good, you tend to forget God and kind of think, well, I did it on my own and look at me and how cool can I be, you know? One of the things that John believes in, and his wonderful wife Sandy and others that have been taught in the human church, is that God's really in control and he gives people their free agency to choose. This is not just a haphazard planet that we're on. It's something that we believe was created by him so he could send us down here to the earth to get one of these things called a body, which is a straight out gift from him, and to see if, you know, to give us a chance to be free to make choices. And it's one big game, basically, that can last in Brooke's life, you know, 29 years, in other people's lives, just a few minutes, who are, you know, packed away right after they're born. Other people's lives, like my mother, who is 94. I'll see her tomorrow afternoon, taking her to dinner out in Utah. You don't know. You just don't know how long it's going to go. And consequently, all the more reason to make your life an adventure, to enjoy what you're doing, and to have fun with this opportunity that we've all been given. So I guess from a background perspective, it really helps. At least it helps me, and I know it helps the Freezes and others who have been taught this, to understand that when you die, it doesn't just all of a sudden end. All that really happens is that you lose the use of this body for a certain amount of time until the resurrection happens, and then you get this body back, and it's whammo, you're back to life, and you're never going to die again. That's a very strong Christian belief that we have and adopt, as well as many others. That's one of the benefits that Jesus Christ gave all of us, was a free gift of being resurrected like he was resurrected. One of the most overlooked passages in the Bible is in the latter part of the book of Matthew, where it talks about many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. In other words, shortly after Jesus was resurrected, a boatload of other people were resurrected too. And that tends to get overlooked sometimes in the religious world. There isn't a lot said about that, but it does happen. So one of the beliefs that the Freeze family will talk about tomorrow at this memorial service is that there's life after death, that they're going to see Brooke again, that the power that kind of sealed Matt and his wife Brooke together is real. One of the things that's unique about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are the temples that they have around the world. And I've talked about these in past shows because I, as a spiritual hobby, go out and visit them. And I'll probably talk about my latest one here later in the show today. If you want to get married, and you're a member of our church in what we'll call good standing, you're doing your best to keep the commandments, and you're not perfect, but you're doing your best to do what God wants you to do, you can go into one of those temples, and you can be married, and that marriage is good, not just till death do you part. It goes beyond that. It is good forever, as long as the two of you want to stay in the marriage together. Yes, divorces happen in the church, our church as well as others, but the opportunity to be married forever is alive and well. That is not commonly taught or practiced in the religious world out there, but it is available here. So one of the things we'll hear tomorrow is how grateful John and his family are for the knowledge that they'll get together with Brooke again. They'll still be one big happy family. And this little boy that was born will get to see his mom again. That brings a lot of peace to people's hearts that otherwise can be a little bit grieved because of maybe a lack of knowledge of what really happens after somebody dies. And that knowledge has been made known through revelation since the apostles, and including the apostles back in the time of Jesus, and it's alive and well. And so there are a lot of interesting things that will come into play in this memorial service tomorrow because of the religious background of the people involved. And I'm just going out there to give them support and let them know that I care. And, you know, it's one thing to call them. It's another thing to be there. And this is something that I just need to do. And I'm excited to do, to give my support to these guys at what's got to be a very hard, tough, questioning, you know, frustrating time to deal with this. But if anybody can do it, these guys can. And I think, as John said in his post on Facebook when he announced this, that he says, we're devastated, but we trust in a loving and merciful God to carry us through. That's about as well said as you can say it with this kind of situation happening. So this show is dedicated to Matt and Brooke and to John and his wonderful extended family for all the good that they've done for decades for so many people. And I am honored to do an episode on this show that tries to teach people, how do you get some of the junk out of your life when all of a sudden a death takes place in the family and you have to deal with it. I'm just going to try to help people deal with it a little bit better, tell you how we deal with it, and maybe that'll be helpful. But at least I'm really touched and honored to be able to be there, and my heart goes out to these good folks lives. But there is, you know, there's life tomorrow, and the sun comes up tomorrow, and you keep moving on, and you keep doing your best, and you handle it in the best way that you know how. So you're listening to Junk Refund Show, kind of a special edition in honor of the Freeze family, as I drive to the airport, Reagan National Airport, where the air tragedy happened just a few weeks ago. 67 people lost their lives. I'm driving there now. It'll take about the amount of time we have for the show for me to get there. And I've had a busy morning this morning. So we will talk more about other stuff in addition to this tragedy that's happened out west that I'm going out to support, and have this be hopefully just like our regular upbeat, faith-building type of show. But sometimes you just have to stop and honor somebody for the goodness of their lives and be there for them when they need some help. That's part of life, and it's just a part of the game that we're all playing. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll take a break for about a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on PBS Radio TV, and I'm your host, Alan Cook. We'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. I'm on the Beltway, which is a freeway around Washington, D.C., headed down to Reagan National Airport for my 6 o'clock flight to go out to Denver, to then go on to Salt Lake City, where tomorrow at 2 o'clock I'm going to attend a memorial service for my best friend in college and since then, a guy named John Freeze, whose wonderful son became a father on Valentine's Day and became a widower at the age of 29, 5 days later. Now, you think you're having a tough day. Keep that one in mind. from comparison standpoint, and I'm flying across the country to go lend my support to this wonderful family and basically show them by showing up that I really do care and that I'm there to give some support, which is about all I can do at this point. But it brings up the question of how do you deal with these kind of bad things that happen, and you know, what are some ways to do it? Number one, trust in God. That's what worked for me. I just have a real strong belief there's a higher power there that can really help in, particularly in tough times. You know, I'm a baseball fan. I have a simple athletic approach to the baseball season and to the football season, to be honest with you. When you live in the Washington, D.C. area, you have the Washington Nationals baseball team, which is kind of my home team. And then half an hour, 45 minutes north, you have the Baltimore Orioles, who have been really hot the last few years. And then another hour and a half north of that, you have the Philadelphia Phillies. Well, Bryce Harper, the first baseman for the Phillies, started his career with the Washington Nationals. And Bryce, as everybody knows, is a terrific all-star Major League Baseball player. And he is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He got married in one of our temples out in San Diego, which you ought to Google the San Diego Temple of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints if you want to see a really beautiful edifice. Google that. They're remodeling it right now, and then they'll reopen it to the public to go through for maybe a month before they dedicate it, turn it back over to just doing the regular church work that we do there. But Bryce has a foundation called Harper's Heroes. And Bryce's heroes are kids who are battling cancer. And show me a better cause. That's a pretty good focused cause for a great athlete who I think was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 16. That's a great focus for somebody to have. So what Bryce does, and what he did in Washington, what he does up in Philadelphia, he will get tickets for games, give them out to the families of kids who are battling cancer, invite them to the stadium, meet them before the game, and he'll autograph a baseball for them. But what's unique about Bryce's autograph is that he writes a scripture reference on the ball. That scripture reference is Luke 1:37. So Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And that verse says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." That verse comes from the words that an angel gave to Zacharias when Zacharias was officiating in the temple and was burning the incense on behalf of the people, and got delayed coming back out to basically announce that everything was done. And what was happening is he was being visited by an angel who told him that his elderly wife, Elizabeth, is going to conceive and bear a son, and that that son's name should be John. Now, Zacharias was an old guy. His wife was an older lady. And Zacharias didn't quite believe, you know, he kind of questioned, you know, the age of my wife and my age and everything else. And he was told that with God, nothing shall be impossible. That is a great verse of scripture to remember. And you will know, if you're a student of the Bible, you'll know that John the Baptist was born somewhere around 9 months later, and that his mom, Elizabeth, is a relative of Mary's, who 3 months after Elizabeth conceived, no, 6 months after Elizabeth conceived, Mary conceived, and consequently Jesus was born. So, very interesting, you know, situation there. But that scripture, Luke 1:37, is something that Bryce believes in wholeheartedly. You have to believe in it if you're going to put it on a baseball that you autograph for somebody. I've always been very impressed with that. I've been impressed with his focus on that scripture and his faith for these young kids that have cancer, that with God, nothing is impossible. That takes me back to the Freeze family, who now have a son, who has a brand new son and no wife to help raise the child, obviously, and feed the son, and, you know, be there for the son, etc. And it is a tough situation. And this is where family comes into play big time, and they rally around this little kid, this little guy who was just born. So I'm impressed with what was said in the obituary for Brooke. That was a very faith-filled obituary, talking about all the things that she's done, all of her hobbies, and the things that she was interested in, and the places she had traveled to. This was just a real go-getter who was enjoying her life and was using her talents in a great way. And it comes back to that concept of having faith that good things are around the corner. And the tricky thing with faith is that you can't see around the corner. Faith is a belief you have in something that you can't see. If you believe sight on the ground because the weather reports are telling you that, and you're in a cabin in the Rocky Mountains, and you step outside and pick up some snow and make a snowball, then you know that there's snow on the ground. You don't have faith anymore that it's there. If you're inside a windowless cabin listening to a news report and you're being told that there's a foot of snow that's just fallen, you know, outside of your cabin, you believe the snow is there until you actually see it and take it in your hands. Then you don't believe it's there anymore. Then you know for sure that it's there. So when something like this happens, it happened to the Freeze family, this is all about believing that the future is going to be okay, that people, especially families, can pull together and make it okay, and that this wonderful young little boy that was just born about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, is going to be all right, and that his wonderful dad, Matt, is going to be all right. That's all faith. Because you don't know for sure. There's a lot of stuff out there that you just don't know. But you believe that good things will happen. You rally together as families and friends. You do your best. And you basically pull together, you know, when things get tough. You know, they talk about when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? Well, you pull together. You believe that God is aware that he's in control and that he'll make it okay. And sometimes, as a part of life, death happens when you least expect it. And it's just what, it's a part of this game called life. We don't all live forever. In fact, none of us do. There is a time where you're born. There's a time when you die. And nobody knows for sure in their own life exactly how long that will be. I always reflect back on Warren Buffett. It was a friend of mine that he would tell students when he'd go out and speak at college campuses, he would sum up as people would ask, you know, how do I pick my career or what do I do for my career? He would sum it up in four words. He would say, do what you love. And if you do that, you'll never work a day in your life, right? This junk removal adventure that I've been on for 20 years is one of the funniest things because I started out as a stockbroker, managed a few million bucks for people, had a great time doing it. One thing led to another. I made some career choices that were in the best interest of my family. And you kind of go from one thing to another and you just tend to survive. I wasn't planning to be a junk removal guy, but I've watched myself for 20 years go out and do physical work, travel all over the country, hauling away, you know, God knows how many couches, right? But the whole time, and then selling stuff for people, which we'll talk about in a minute, the whole time, I've never once said to myself, man, I wish I was doing something else. Or, you know, woe is me, look at the career that I have. I've never thought that. It's always about the next adventure. And the thing that sets us apart is that if we come across some stuff that you have us haul away, that's good stuff, and we think somebody might buy it, we'll put it up for sale, and then you get some of that money. And that gets really exciting. So that brings me into another part of the show here that I want to talk about, just to illustrate, in the midst of tragedies that happen, you know, there's still some silver lining behind the clouds. When I heard about this tragedy for the Freeze family, I checked on my, you know, my flyfrontier.com website, and I've mentioned this many times in the past, but it continues to pay off. I pay $600 a year for a pass called the Go Wild Pass, and then I fly free for a year. The airfares are one penny on my tickets when I buy them, and I just pay the airport taxes. So this flight that I'm about to catch cost me less than $31. It was $30 and change. I'm going to fly to Denver, then I'm going to fly on to Salt Lake City. That's my cost to get out there. That's an amazing thing. I mean, I get to pick the best seats. I pick, you know, when I check in, I pick the seats, and if they're available, and they usually are, in the exit row, so I have extra leg room. The seats recline. I don't have to pay extra for that. I get a free checked bag. A free carry-on is what I get, plus a personal item. And I feel like I have my own airline. And I'm in my second year of doing this, and my third year starts in May, and I already bought my pass for next year because they did a special deal 3 or 4 months ago where they said, okay, if you want to renew your pass early, it's half price. So I went in for $299 and renewed my pass for 2025-2026 season, we'll call it. And again, I keep, you know, hopping on the planes and going to different places. So anyway, the flight today out to Salt Lake City is $30. I have not booked my return flight yet. I'm not sure how long I'll be staying out. It'll probably just be a day or two. I don't know if I'll fly back Saturday or if I'll fly back Sunday. But that's happening. A shout out to Frontier Airlines. I have to talk about my buddy. I'll give you his first name. His first name is Simmons. He's a wonderful guy. He's in his mid-70s. He's a good friend of mine out here in Washington, D.C. And a few weeks ago, he and his wonderful brother had me, as we've been working with them kind of week for about an hour or two, we'll go over to their former apartments and kind of clean them out. We've been doing this for a little while. They're great guys. Both of them are attorneys. One went to law school at Michigan. One went to law school at Harvard. And they're just terrific people to be around, both avid baseball fans. They had me, as we've been cleaning out their apartments, their former apartments, one of them pulled out a little medallion. It was called something like the Gold Award Medallion, given to him back in 1985. It's about the size of a half dollar. It looks like a gold coin, but it's not like an Australian Krugerrand or anything like that. It's just a medallion called the Gold Award, given to him in 1985. It is mounted in the middle of this 8x10 frame. And as we're hauling away stuff, this thing pops up. And he looked at me and said, you know, maybe you can see if you can do anything with this. I don't know if it's gold or not or whatever. Maybe you can take care of that. Then they also had a great-grandmother's sterling silver set in a case, in a box, that I think was the six-person serving, you know, collection. Well, one thing led to another. Did a little research. Went down to a guy who pulled the medallion off of its backing, then cut the little metal mounting part that it was mounted to on the back, then took some acid and dripped some acid on it. I asked him why he was doing that, and he says, because if it's gold, the acid won't react with the gold. If it's bronze or brass or a combination of metals, the acid will boil and start to bubble. So he put the acid on the coin, and I'm just looking at it going, please, Lord, don't let it bubble, right? Well, it didn't bubble, and we sold the coin. the medallion for $1,600. We sold the silver, the sterling silver set, for $1,400. So I, a couple of weeks later, which was would have been just a few days ago, I went back to the brothers. When we sell something for you, you get 35% of the sales price, and you don't do anything. We do all the work. We ship it. We, you know, find out how to sell it, where to sell it. We answer people's questions, you know, all that stuff. So I went back to them a couple of days ago when I was back at that same place, still getting some stuff out of there, and gave them each an envelope. And I said, here you go. Here's your share of the sale of that medallion and your family's silverware set. Here's $525 cash for each one of you. Well, that puts a smile on their faces kind of quick. And that was a surprise. I love to do that kind of thing. I love to give people money as a result of our junk removal work because nobody else does. But we have a lot of fun with it. And that's one of the latest stories that happened in the last few weeks in the junk removal business with 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. It's just a great time. And to watch these guys light up, you know, after they pay me to go in and get stuff, it's nice to turn around and pay them something back. In this case, hundreds of dollars for each of them, because we took the time to sell some stuff instead of taking it to a landfill and just throwing it away or taking it home, you know, giving it to our drivers or something and having them take it home. And then who knows what happens with it from there. And I think a lot of the other companies do just that. We want to be different. We want to be better. And in the case of Simmons and his wonderful brother, we were able to deliver back some cash to them because we took the time to try to sell something that might have some value, and we were right, it did have some value, about $3,000 worth of value. So you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. I am driving on the George Washington Parkway, headed to Reagan National Airport to catch a flight to go out to Utah to go to a memorial service tomorrow for my wonderful buddy, John, and his son, his wonderful son, who lost his wife tragically about 2 weeks ago, 5 days after she gave birth to their son. Trying to help people understand how you deal with this, how do you keep your head up, and how do you maintain your hope when those kind of things happen in this wonderful world of ours. I'll be back in a minute for the last segment of the show. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show with Alan Cook on BBS Radio TV. Be back in a second.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
That's our producer, Don, and his great radio voice that does the breaks for us here. Another story involves someone named Allison, and this one is fresh out of the oven because this just happened. Allison is a lady that lives in Montgomery County, Maryland. We're cleaning out her home. She's downsizing because she's dealing with a situation with her husband that involves dementia and Alzheimer's. I think it's mostly dementia. Bless this lady's heart. She is, you know, downsizing from a home she's been in for, I think, 30 or 40 years, has to take care of a husband who, you know, just because of the disease, gets harder and harder to take care of. And we're over there hauling some stuff away. Well, she had in her master bedroom, she had three little boxes, and she said, there's some jewelry in here. I don't think it's worth much. It's probably like costume jewelry, but you might see if you can do something with that. Well, we did. We went through and checked it out. Got a couple of other pros involved in this. Ended up getting about $140 for some sterling silver that was inside the three jewelry boxes. And then I took the rest of it to a lady named Leslie Sandler, who is in Montgomery County, Maryland. Leslie is a jeweler as well and has been on my show as a guest. I took her the rest, keeping in mind that we had already pulled the sterling silver out of it and had checked to see if there was any gold in there. And I'm just kind of thinking, well, will we get? And lo and behold, Leslie sends me a text message three or four for his $485. We took 35% of that, 35% of $140, and ended up giving Allison to go. Which put a smile on her face. So that's what sets us apart. We also donate stuff. We get people donation receipts. We take the junk and we, you know, go to the dump and get rid of the junk. We recycle the metal and wire, and we have a ball doing it. We try to do the right thing with the stuff so that you make one phone call. You don't have to make seven or eight different phone calls. You make one phone call, and we take care of everything for you, and ideally get you some money back that you can have as a result of our efforts. So it's a fun way to go through life, and it's an enjoyable thing. I'll give you this tip. If you ever start a radio show and you end up on a two-lane highway that's busy around the Washington, D.C. area, and cars start passing you because you're on the inside lane, and they start passing you and basically going around you, it's because you need to speed up a little bit. I think I've been going about 50 miles an hour, and that doesn't cut the mustard for a lot of drivers out here in Washington, D.C. So three cars just went around me, and I'm staying in this middle inside lane because I need to make a left pretty soon to go to Reagan National Airport. But if you're ever doing a radio show and cars start passing you because you're going too slow, you need to speed up a little bit. There you go. A wonderful experience happened to me last Saturday. I, as I've mentioned on this before, for a little bit of spiritual insight and getting a little bit of spiritual punch in my life, I like to go visit the different temples that we have around the world, and that means mostly in the United States. And it's a fun thing to do because we have a bunch of these. These are not like chapels or meeting houses. These are special. You remember from Jesus's life that he had synagogues that he would go into and preach. Then there was the Temple of Solomon that he would go into, and he liked to spend a lot of time there. At the age of 12, he was over in that temple and got left behind when the family headed back to Nazareth. And they realized, whoops, wait a minute, Jesus isn't with us. And he was talking to the doctors and the priests back in the temple. Temple's a special place. It's a good place to get some spiritual rejuvenation. The Wailing Wall that is so prominent with our Jewish friends is one of the remaining walls from Solomon's temple. So it takes you back to a nostalgic place. Well, I set a goal in January of 2017 to go to our temple twice a month. And we have one right in the Washington, D.C. area. But ideally, just to make it fun, try to make it different temples. Now, we have about 200 of these around the world that are operating right now, and another 150 that are either under construction or have been announced and are, you know, going to be under construction soon. That is a massive building program that this church has. Can you imagine having 150 multi-million dollar temples under construction at the same time, basically? And they not, you know, it's they get built as they get announced, they get built, you know, over the next 3 or 4 years. And so it's an ongoing, you know, situation. But boy, these things are all over the world. And if you go visit these places, you know, twice a month, you'll go to 24 of these in a year. And I've been doing this for 8 years, but for a couple of years when COVID was around, all these temples were closed because we couldn't, you know, get together publicly and do that kind of thing. Well, I got to the point recently where I have made a visit on kind of a little spiritual trek to all of these temples in the United States, which we have about 100 or so. I had been to all of them except two. And those two were two of the recent ones that were put in service. One in Casper, Wyoming, one in McAllen, Texas. So a couple of weeks ago, I flew to Denver, rented a car, drove about 4 hours north to Casper, Wyoming, and spent about an hour and a half in that wonderful building and getting kind of my spiritual rejuvenation taken care of. And then I turned around and drove back to Denver and then flew back to Washington. And it was a blast doing that. But I'm telling you, there's not a lot growing between Cheyenne, Wyoming and Casper, Wyoming, at least in February. But hey, that's just the way that it can work. But anyway, that was great. And when I like to get a photo of myself in front of these magnificent buildings, they're all just beautifully done. They're built with the very best materials. They're customized to the area that they're built in. And these materials literally come from around the world. We spare no expense in building a temple because we believe that temple is really God's house. Or let's call it a very large condo that he has. And he's got a bunch of them around the world. So in Casper, Wyoming, it was about 12 degrees when I got there. And I pulled up into the parking lot and I wanted to get a picture of me in front of this temple. There's a lady sitting in a very upscale Jeep / SUV of some kind. I walked over to her and just kind of motioned and she rolled down the window. I said, hey, any chance you could take a picture of me? Well, turns out her name is Mrs. Hardy. And she, too, was getting ready to go in the temple and spend a couple of hours there. She took the picture of me in front of Casper, Wyoming. She asked me where I'm from. I said, Washington, D.C. Oh, what are you doing in Casper? Well, I go around and I visit these temples. And this one and one down in Texas are the only two that I haven't been to. And I'm kind of proud of that. So I've had a lot of fun for years doing this. She said, what part of Texas? I said, McAllen, Texas. She said, I have a daughter who is a church missionary in McAllen, Texas, right now. And I made a mental note, and I thought, you know, wouldn't that be something to bump into her? The odds are not great, but wouldn't it be something to bump into her when I'm there? Well, last Saturday, I leave my home at 2:30 in the morning. I drive down to this same Reagan National Airport. I catch a 5 o'clock flight to Dallas, change planes, catch another flight to McAllen. I end up at the McAllen, Texas temple at 11:45. I had previously scheduled to do some church work in there starting at 1 o'clock with what we'll call the English language. But in 15 minutes at 12 o'clock, they had the same thing going in Spanish. I'm getting interested more and more in Spanish. I'm trying to learn Spanish more and more. So I said, hey, can I get in the 12 o'clock meal? And I'll they have, you know, headphones that can interpret the Spanish for you. But I opted not to use the headphones because I've done this kind of stuff so many times. I kind of know what they're going to tell me in the time that I'm in there. I just don't know what it sounds like in Spanish. So I opted for the Spanish thing. I did that. It was a blast. When I was done, you know, I didn't know anybody in McAllen, Texas, except a girl named Karen, who does a commercial for Chipotle, who is an employee in McAllen, and talks about, you know, how fresh our ingredients are. When I saw that commercial a couple of months ago, it tells you the restaurant that she worked in, and it just happened to say McAllen, Texas. That stood out because I knew that I'd be making a visit there sometime, and I don't know anybody in McAllen. I thought, hey, well, no, I like to go get a meal, you know, when I'm out visiting these temples, and I have a blog, I'll tell you about in a minute, that tracks all these trips. But I'd like to have a meal someplace, take a picture of the meal, and make a comment about the meal as a part of the trip. So I decided when I saw this thing with Karen in McAllen, trying to find that restaurant, go there, see if I can take a picture with her, and then in my blog, I'll actually put the link to the commercial that she's in, and she'll be my contact for McAllen. Well, after I was done at the temple, I literally went half a mile down the street to one of three Chipotles that are there, and as I stand outside the door and start to enter, lo and behold, four young missionaries from our church are inside getting ready to have lunch. These are all young gentlemen, young men. I decided to pay for their lunch for them, which they got a big kick out of. So I took four people to lunch, and then I said, by the way, do you know we call them sisters for the young ladies and elders for the young men. Do you know a Sister Hardy in this mission? And they said, oh, yeah, she's right here in this area. We're going to see her at church tomorrow. I went, cool. And I gave them, I texted them the photo of me in front of the Casper, Wyoming temple a week or 10 days earlier. I said, show this picture to Sister Hardy and tell her that her mother took the shot. And oh, they thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So somewhere out there in McAllen, there is a Sister Hardy who is going home from her service, I think in about 3 or 4 weeks. But I was delighted to be able to get that photo to her through these other missionaries, plus take these guys to dinner. It was just a delightful afternoon. And then I asked somebody behind the counter, by the way, is this the restaurant that filmed the commercial where Karen was in the commercial? And they said, actually, she's the manager of this restaurant, but she's not in today. She's off today. I thought, well, cool. I found the right place. You know, I can't get a picture with her, but that's okay. At least I was supporting her restaurant. And I took a picture of me and the four missionaries having lunch there at Chipotle in McAllen, Texas. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know if you ever had a goal of some kind that you were working on, that you literally spent years working on it. When I decided in January 2017 to go give myself a spiritual boost twice a month by going to one of our temples, my goal was not to go to all of them in the United States. It was simple. It was just go twice a month. That's a good thing to do. And you'll get stronger spiritually as a result of doing that. But because I tried to make it different temples and because I fly cheap on Frontier, this has been a really fun thing to do. And so when you have gone to all of them in the United States, you've done something that most of the members of the church, the millions of people that are members of our church, have not done, but have an interest in, because everybody in our church loves the spirituality or the spiritual nature of a temple. And I was quite thrilled and very excited to make this trip last Saturday to McAllen, Texas, which was the only one I had not visited. I finished up at Chipotle, took an Uber back to the airport, got on a 6 o'clock flight, flew back to Dallas, got on another flight at 8 o'clock, flew back to Washington, D.C., and at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, I walked back into my home, which I had left 23 and a half hours earlier at 2:30 in the morning, to go out to Texas to do this. Now, that illustrates really well the kind of world that we live in. And when I went to Allison's home on Monday, and she asked me how my weekend was, and I'm hauling away some of her junk there, I said, oh, it was fabulous. I went to Texas on Saturday. And she about died. She couldn't believe that I went all the way to Texas and got back on a weekend. I said, yeah, it was fabulous. Had a great time. And again, it's another adventure that means a lot to me, that strengthens me and just makes it joyful. And I will tell you this too. When I go to these temples, you know, I want to get a picture of myself in front just to show everybody that I really did go there. But the main thing is to go inside and do the, that is why these temples are built. So I'm always, when I show up, I'm always looking for somebody to be my, in case, I'm in the parking lot at McAllen, Texas, and a middle-aged gentleman and his, I assume it's his daughter. I did. And so I went over to him and asked him if he would mind taking my photo and explain to him what I'm doing. He said he'd be happy to. The Macallan Temple, this was such a big deal to me that I'd actually made it. It's a beautiful temple, and they have a large sign, a big cement sign, that's part of the architecture that's out in front of the temple that's a little bit ways away from the itself. I didn't really want to, because of the time nature involved, I didn't want to, you know, come all the way out front and do this. I asked him if he'd take a picture. I mean, he said, sure. And then I said, by the way, is there any chance you could, you know, take it from over there in front of the sign? And he said, sure, I'd be happy to. Well, he came up to me afterwards, after he and I had spent, you know, some time in our temple doing some work there. He came up to me afterwards and he says, hey, I got to tell you something. He said, on my way to the temple today, I stopped three times to get some gas. And he said, every one of those pumps did not work. And he said, I'm low on gas. I needed to get, the pumps would not work. He said, I decided that maybe God was trying to tell me that he needed me to get over to the temple quickly. So I did. I still haven't bought the gas, but I came over to the temple. He said, I think the reason that he wanted me to get here quickly was to take that photo of you. Now, that's pretty touching stuff. And that's the kind of thing that happened on Saturday, a great story from this guy. And everything just worked. It was so much fun to go do this because it's an important goal that I have in my life, and it worked. And I have, as of right now, I have done temple work, we call it, in all of the operating temples for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the United States. We have two in Hawaii, one in Alaska, and close to 100 of them or so all around the United States. And I've been to all of them. So in order to plan my next trip to one of these temples in the United States, I simply wait for our church to publicly announce that another one that's been under construction is now completed. They'll have a public open house so anybody can go through and check it out. Then after that, they'll dedicate it, and then they'll put it into operation. And at that point, it goes on my hit list, and I have another one in the U.S. to go visit. In the meantime, my three favorite words are O Canada and Ola, because I'm starting to go to temples up in Canada, and I'm starting to go to temples down in Mexico and Latin America, which is why I'm so interested in Spanish. So there you go. There's a brief little story of a little bit of insight into my life and some of the things that I do to try to stay upbeat from a spiritual nature. And it's just a lot of fun. And there's just a lot of good things. Life, I've told people before, I've said it on this show many times, there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than right now. When you can fly to McAllen, Texas, and back in a day, when you can fly to Utah for $31, when you can live in one of the most exciting cities and areas in the world, Washington, D.C., there's always something going on here. It just doesn't get much better than that. I mean, that's just the fact. And that's the life that I live. I love doing the radio show. I love sharing these stories. I hope they're all true, by the way. And I hope that it makes a difference in somebody's life, and that as an extension of my job and my career of helping people get the junk out of their homes, which I always love it when they, you know, thank us for what we've done and whatever, call us a godsend or whatever, that we can also give some principles that helps people get some of the junk out of their lives, because we all tend to have a life and we all tend to have different situations coming, and we all tend to want to know how to have happiest and best life possible. If we can help make yours even a little bit better, then this show has accomplished its objective, and I am thrilled to be able to do it. So I'm about to hop onto a plane. I just got to the parking lot at Reagan National Airport. Our thoughts and prayers also go out to the families of the 67 victims about a month or month and a half ago who suddenly lost their lives in that tragic accident here south of runway 33. We have not forgotten you folks either. And remember what Bryce Harper writes on a baseball, Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. We'll close with that. We love you. You're great. Have a great time. We'll get back to you next week with a Junk Refund Show Thursdays at 3 o'clock. Thanks again to Don, our wonderful producer, and to BBSRadio.com for all the good that they do. I'm about to get on a flight and fly to Utah to go help my buddy, John Fries, his son Andrew, in memory of Andrew's wonderful wife, Brooke, who lost her life about 10 days ago at the ripe young age of 29, right after giving birth to their son. So remember the freezes in your prayers. Have a great life. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. And it's a wonderful life, like Jimmy Stewart used to say. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.